This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crowe. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better. Hello, friends. Excited to be with you again today. So y'all know I love me some Varian Brandon. Varian is one of my business besties, a close friend. I've been a mentor to her and she's been a mentor to me. And this year, at the beginning of January, I had the opportunity to go to Orlando for a four-day retreat called Expand that she put on. And this is the powerful download of the lessons and insights I learned at Expand 2019. So here we go. Better Life, Better Work show. This is episode number 35. Good morning, lovies. It's Monday. It's actually not even really morning anymore. It's almost midday. But I have been rolling slow and easing back in. I actually made the mistake of scheduling something today and I took it off my schedule because I know better, but I'm back and fresh. Well, not fresh. I am back and full from my friend and colleague, Varian Brandon's event called Expand. Hi, Brenda. Hi, Cairo. Hello, hello. Good morning, you guys. And so I thought I would go through my journal and share some of the lessons. This is going to be valuable. I'm going to get some nuggets that I learned from being... Good morning, Farah. Hi, Lauren. Teresa. Hello, you guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So I'm going to share some of the good stuff I got. Hi, Wendy. Well, it's good to see you. I'm going to share some of the good stuff I got at Varian's event. And I see some of my fellow sisters from that weekend there. And I hope you're just taking it easy today. Today is a day of integration, of allowing everything to sink in. And I know that there's a lot to let sink in. Hi, Angela. I was totally spoiled. I was totally put in luxury and... it was amazing. So let me just pop right in and start here. I'm just going to kind of go through my journal and see some of the things that stick out. The first thing I really want to share that was impactful for me, and I did a post about this. I was like, going to live events is so important. And I think when we work from behind our computers or in everyday work, we get in this routine and this system. And even though I know, and I've been to millions, not millions, but I've been to hundreds of different live events, it is so important to get out of your comfort zone, to go meet new people. Hey, Michelle. Hey, Shira. It is so important to go meet new people and connect. I really am all about blowing my own mind. I am so fascinated. I'm so fascinated with our brains and how they make us do things and how they can keep us stuck. Hi, Paula. Good morning. It's not just the content in the room. It's the connection in the room. And some of my biggest learnings, I'll share them, a little vulnerable about them, but some of my biggest learnings, it's just so good and it's so worth it. I know a lot of times when there's live events, people are like, that's a lot of money. I can't imagine anything else I'd rather do. Anything else I'd rather do is an investment for myself. So the number one thing, I don't have these numbered out, but the number one thing was the connection with the sisters in the circle, the connection with the other women. And I'll just go ahead and tell this right off the bat. I'm a little nervous to share this because I haven't shared this in the group. But in the online world, I've seen a lot of dynamics about race. And in my world, I've seen a lot of dynamics, my own projection about Christian, many Christians. In my life, I've had many Christians check out. And when they found out I got divorced or those kind of things, I've experienced, I don't know if they did it, but I've experienced a lot of rejection. And a few years ago, I decided that my beliefs were broader than just Christianity. And I was in the room with lots of diverse different women, and many of them are very devout and faithful Christians. And I felt nothing but love and supported. And it, you know, it came out in the room that I had renounced that a while ago, and I still felt loved and supported. And so some of my old stories about that, especially when you're with a group of a lot of Christians, that they will separate themselves from you. And so that was a really beautiful experience for me to be able just to be all of me and still be loved. To me, that's what Christianity is. And so I, if you women are watching, I just want to say thank you for representing what I believe Christ teaches us, what I always thought Christ teaches us. So that's number one. And then the other one is about race. As a white woman, I'm always a little nervous to talk about race. I am learning. I'm becoming more and more aware of the larger social context. And I've had experience with my women of color friends personally that, like, you know, individually with my Hispanic friends, with my Black friends, that have shared lots of things with me. And in this room, as a white person, there were fewer white person than there were Black women, white women than there were Black women. And in the online world, some of what I've seen, which I realize is little pockets, but is that Black women are sick of white women and that they don't want to have anything to do with them. And I knew going into Varian's event that this wouldn't be the case. And yet going into this room with these women, we felt loved and supported and accepted, and there was no race issue there, at least not that I saw, or it didn't come into the room. And so many conversations that I see in the pockets of the online world are, they're just a different energy, and there's just a different thing. And so I was just so grateful to be with the women in the room. Beyond those were my two deep interpersonal bullshit stories that blew wide open. And so, yes, absolutely, Lauren, thank you. And so that's what's so fun is that we just felt like sisters. It didn't feel like Black or white or Christian or non-Christian. It didn't feel the separateness. It didn't feel separateness. And I know that we all have identity. That's a whole nother conversation. And actually Varian and, our friend Monique and another one of our friends leads these discussions on race in America in a larger context. And I made up these stories. Hi, Sharon. I had gotten in a fear bubble because of the way some people, white and Black, are acting. And I was in a room of people that, you know, that said, I don't buy into that fear bullshit. They weren't denying the larger context of dismantling racism in America, but they weren't so obsessed with it they couldn't sit in the room with a diverse group of people. So those are two big inner things that I really didn't bring into the room. But I remember writing down, I was like, all Black women don't hate white women. And I wrote down, all Christians don't hate non-Christians. Everyone was able to truly be themselves. Yes, exactly. And what was so amazing is when we didn't pay attention to those differences, we noticed I love when Michelle said, you know, I'm just like all these other people. And Lauren, one of the things I always say is I am the other you. I am the other you. You are the other me. We are each other. And yes, we have differences. And I'm not, it's so confusing. And at the end of the day, we all just want to be seen and loved and heard. And so I felt like that really happened. So with that, good stuff. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all get out your pens and pencils. Okay. Varian might not like me repeating all this, although you can never have the experience. From me sharing this, you cannot have the experience. And I'm already signed up to go to her one next year. Okay. Self-trust is the ultimate trust. Write that one down. Self-trust. I wrote this down. I trust myself. I make decisions. I'll get what I need. Self-trust. I belong if I choose to be there. And belonging has been a huge concept for me recently. I'm really thinking about belonging as I create community in my own programs, as I create community in my own events, as I create community here with you guys, and even as I create community on locally in Austin, which is the last place I do it is locally. But because generally it's my world online, my clients online, and then locally. So, but I love, you know, sometimes people, we come into these new situations where you don't know a lot of people and you're new to the environment. And there's this little voice in your head that says you don't belong. And it's not true. And one of the things, people brought that into the room. And I love that Varian said, if I choose to be there, I belong. I choose to be there. And so I belong. I got to be in the challenge with self-trust last week. Yes. And Paula, self-trust takes time on task. Okay. And then here's what I wrote. This goes along with my first projections about Christian and many Black women, which were wrong. Projection creates that distance. When I project, when I make up a story about somebody else without knowing the truth, that is projection. And it usually has to do with my own issues. Projection creates distance. If I show up, I belong. Permission has been conditioned out of you. One of the things I always say is, like, one of the things people pay me for is permission. It's amazing how much they pay me for permission. And so just recognizing, like, in our cultural context, in our human context. Okay, have fun, Ben. In our human context, which we all have, permission has been conditioned out of us. So be aware of where your brain, the subconscious things have given you permission. And what if those weren't, you know, it's kind of hard to, like, what if those weren't there? This is why I love the brain so much. Okay. She asked some really good questions, and I love these because I've been thinking about these questions even before. I didn't know what the context was going to be in the room. And my live event is called Becoming.
Give me earbuds.
Yeah.
Those don't work very good. I tried them.
No, they're terrible. Sorry. That's what I have. So she asked these questions, and I'm going to run through them quickly. I'm not going to answer them, but who am I? Why am I? In 2019, I love this one. Who have I been and who do I desire to be? And that's what becoming is about for me. And I've been playing with this idea about thinking from my future self, thinking from my becoming self. Because when I think from my current self, I can only ever be my current self. Now, I love my current self and I have some things I want to accomplish and feel. And I loved that. I loved that. 10 years ago and now, and it was like, how hard has aging hit you? Aging hasn't hit me hard. Aging has softened me. Aging has freed me. The experience of life has, like, who have I been? I've been a lot of beautiful things, but I was able to see, and I put in a separate post, like, I rage less. I'm fearful less. I'm less anxious. All these things that I have just grown out of, and I've grown softer and more open to myself and more open to others. And so as I've seen those changes, as I've seen who I have become from my past self, it gets me so excited about who I'm becoming in my future self. And it has nothing to do with not enoughness of now, right? Okay, what will my 2019 being require of me? And my big answer for that one, I said I wasn't going to give you my answers, but...
What did you eat in my car, woman?
Oh, I had Taco Bell in your car, boy. Whoops. I drove his car to the airport and we don't eat in his car. He likes to keep things neat, Nick. Who do you believe you have to be? Okay. Well, okay. So here's one of the ways that what's fascinating to me is there's little ways I've already seen evidence of this. And so I used to believe me to be someone who was, quote, not good in the kitchen, and that I would soon rather die than not have macaroni and cheese once or twice a week. And what's interesting is that I have become a person who cooks healthy meals for herself often, eats fairly clean, 80% clean, 80 to 90% clean. And then I love this one. So there's this idea that we have our potential. I wrote this one down because I love becoming my potential. And I also love the times when I knew my potential and I chose intentionally not to become it, right? So sometimes there's things we want. So I want to create $1 million coaching business, and then I want to net $1 million coaching business. And there have been a lot of times when I knew that I had the potential, but I wasn't ready for the behaviors and the beliefs that it required of me. I am now. This one I love. Are y'all ready? What? As I choke my own words. Whatever your message is in the world, when you say it out loud, someone is waiting to say, me too. I'm so glad you said that. The reason you aren't being seen or heard is because you aren't speaking out. And for my clients, I want you to know this. Y'all know I talk about this and share your heart, show your work. Share your heart, show your work so you can be seen, so you can serve the world, so you can serve your people, and then so you can sell your services too. The pleasure of matching. And so often we're focused on the fear of not being accepted instead of focusing on the pleasure of matching. The pleasure of when you share your voice and somebody says, me too, I resonate. Oh, this one's good. I love the idea of an accomplishment board. I think it was Marion that said that she does an accomplishment board. List your accomplishments. People, we forget to celebrate. And I'm working on that more and more, celebrating accomplishments. Money is neutral and takes on your personality. Now, that's a little bit of a deep one. We're not going to go into it here, but think about it. Money is neutral and takes on your personality. For me, I wrote down money is an indication of the freedom of my mind. The more broad and open my mind gets to people, to circumstances, to thinking, to possibility, to how, to what, to who, the more broad my mind gets, the more money comes to me, the more free I am. And money's just nothing. It's just a symbol of something. It's just it's just paper. It's just an electronic thing. But we all have these stories around what money is. Money is an indication of the freedom of my mind. So the more free my mind is, it's so funny, the more I earn. Let's see. I give myself the status I want. Ooh, that was a good one. I give myself the status I want. Isn't it so funny how we hold ourselves separate from what we want until we give it? And this one, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is like, I remember I wanted so-and-so's approval. I wanted so-and-so's trust. You know, so-and-so should approve of me. So-and-so should believe in me. So-and-so should trust me. So-and-so, y'all remember, some of y'all don't remember, but some of y'all do because you've been around when I just decided to start tagging myself out, your favorite life coach, right? So I would write something and I would say, love your favorite life coach, Allison Crow. And so I gave myself the status of being your favorite life coach. And guess what people started telling me? You're my favorite life coach. You're my favorite life coach. And so I approve of me. I acknowledge me. I give myself the status I want. I'm a million-dollar coach, even before I've earned $1 million in 1 year. Now, here's what's funny. I am a million-dollar coach. I've earned way over $1 million as a coach, just not in 1 year yet. I give myself the status I want. I give myself the status I want. What is the status you want? And why are you waiting for somebody to give it to you? Remember that thing called permission? Okay. Be willing to change in front of others. We talk about this. Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Elaine. We talk about this in Share Your Heart, Show Your Work. I call it learning in front of others. Be willing to change in front of others. And I love reinvention. I'm totally thinking about reinvention right now. I reinvent every few years. That's part of becoming. That's part of being. That's part of being a natural human being, growing and changing. I am more nature than I am machine, and nature grows and changes and reinvents. Ooh, I love this one. If you don't break away from your history, your future will always be at risk. If you don't allow yourself to become, if you don't break away from your history, your becoming will be at risk. Your historical thinking, this has been huge. This is what has shifted for me in the last year. It's actually shifted a lot slower, but I can feel that it's shifting very, very fast now because I'm doing time jumping. Rebecca put a word to that for me. So your historical thinking and your historical being creates your present moment. Hi, Stacy. Reinvention now. Yes. So you have got to break away from your historical thinking and your historical being to create your future if you want it to be any different. oh, I'm so fascinated with this conversation. And it was crazy, y'all, because we get to the event, but the whole way through, on the way there, I was reading this book and I was taking notes. And, you know, since when have I gotten to like chapter 7 in a book? And I was reading for myself, for my own event about becoming and thinking from our future selves and letting go of the history and really diving deep into what is it in our thinking, not just change your thinking, change your life, but how do we change our thinking so we can change our life? And then we're talking about this all weekend long. It was amazing. One of the questions she asked is, what conversation will we be having now that would change your life forever? And I love this. Everybody in the room got a chance to answer this question. And so it's just beautiful to witness everybody, all different kinds of topics. Hey, Christina Lord, I saw that you were in Canada and I was like, oh, you're close to Texas. Because Canada is closer to Texas than England is. What conversation would you be having that would change your life? And so often we avoid that conversation because it's uncomfortable, because it is tender. Some of my answers to that, as I was thinking, it took me a few days to think about what conversation, because I was actually in a really good place this time. Sometimes these things break me open and break up stuff, but I have been unearthing tons. One of the big ones, my coach asked me a question last week. My coach, John Morgan, said, what if you didn't judge yourself? And I am fascinated with that way of being through. If I moved through the world today without judging myself, what would I experience? If I'm on Facebook too much, but don't judge myself as too much, how would I experience? And so I'm loving this question of what if I didn't judge myself? So this also includes my ability. What if I didn't judge my ability to create? What if I didn't judge my ability? So this is what's fun. One of the things, this would be so much a miracle. So right now I have 84 members of Soulful Success. The doors close tomorrow. The doors close and the price goes up. So the price goes up, and when I open it back again, it's going to be more expensive. And how fun would it be to be at 100? My brain tells me, my history tells me that's impossible. But if I didn't judge myself, it's totally possible. It's totally possible to have 100 members by tomorrow. What reinvented self thoughts would change my life? It really is kind of esoteric, but it's esoteric in the sense that it's actually very linear. You just have to time hop. What reinvented self thoughts? So if I am reinventing, what are the thoughts of my reinvented self would change my life if I knew them right now? That came from me. These are the things I'm thinking about while Steph's in the room. What reinvented self thought? So my reinvented self, if I knew her thoughts and could bring them to right here, right day, 1203 at 114, 219, what would change my life now? And that, if I could... yes, Rebecca, I like that question too. What are you judging yourself based on? It is, y'all, it's a mindfuck to think from your future self. Now, we are taught to dream about our future self, but to go in the one that has created, that is being, and bring back their thought process is the how-to. Of anything I say today or ever, other than you are loved, that is the most important. Anything you want to create that is different from what you already have has to be created from the thought processes, emotional management, energy management, from that already created self, if that makes any sense. So that's how we go to our future self. We don't just look at what she has or does. We look at how she feels. We look at what are the thoughts that cause her to feel that way. What problems is she solving? What is her thoughts about how we are now, right? I can talk about that for the next, I'm going to be talking about that for the next years. And y'all are going to watch. This is what's so fun. Y'all are going to watch. Y'all are going to go, holy shit, look what Alison Crow created. And I'm going to tell you exactly how I did it is I am going to check in all the time with my reinvented self's thoughts. And I'm going to begin to know them now and release my history thoughts and release my history being. I wrote down, are you hard on yourself? Are you judging yourself? Y'all, being hard on ourselves is useless. Judging ourselves is useless. Varian said this one, create your own dictionary. Why are you defining yourself? Definitions create conditions. And when we define ourselves, so here's what's interesting. When you make a definition, things get narrow. I am learning to live from expansion. And in expansion, sorry, I don't have a screen big enough, but in expansion, we have both and. What I love and when my life has become the paradox, when I allow both ends of the entire paradoxical spectrum, everything is blown wide open. When I come from a narrow space, I limit myself, my family, my relationships, my being, my health, my money, my wealth, anything I want is limited when I have defined myself too narrowly. Because when we define ourselves up, if you define the walls of your house, you put a wall up. Okay. I actually wrote down, like, I downloaded this process, like, how to. Hi, Valerie, one of my new friends. She was already a friend online, but I got to meet her in person, hug her neck. I wrote this down and circled around it. Find my place of power in any situation. In any situation. I love this one. This one has helped me go from, you know, a lot of times we think we need circumstances to change something. We need circumstances. If circumstances will change, then I will feel powerful. Find my power in any situation. So, for example, I have a little bit of social anxiety. I definitely have social anxiety at concerts, A, because they're late at night, B, because there's a lot of stimulation, and C, because I'm reading everybody's energy and it freaks me out. And so when I used to define myself so narrowly, I'm introverted, I can't do concerts, then I was miserable at concerts. And my husband loves to go to them. I don't have to go to every single one, but when there's somebody I like, so we're going to Matt Nathanson next month, and to be able to go to that concert and enjoy it, not only do I have to like the music, but the other thing is I have to find my place of power, even though there's a large crowd, even though we start late. And how I find my place of power is, what do I have to think about this situation? What do I have to believe? And if I'm sitting in that situation going, I hate all these people, I feel all their energy, everybody's drunk, I'm staying up late, I'm going to be miserable. But if I open my heart to the experience and I trust that I can handle any discomfort I feel, then I have found my power in that situation. So what situation are you thinking needs to change when you need to change your definition inside your heart? Find your place of personal power. I have this process that I'm writing down and I'm saving that one for my private clients. I have a process, literally a formula. I'm normally not a formula person, but I have a formula I have written down that I'm going to share with my soulies. Remember, you can become a soulie today. Today's the last day for it to be 188. Tomorrow, it goes up to 288. It is about time for me to raise the price on this. This is a good one. Some of y'all will need to hear this one. Get comfortable being the talent. Get comfortable being the talent. You show your gift, share your heart, show your work, get comfortable being the talent, right? And so especially, this is the one I really want to encourage my turtles, my slow people. I want you to quit seeing yourself as slow. And I want you to quit seeing yourself as a spectator. And I want you to start envisioning, if I were the talent, what would I feel and think? Okay, let me check in with some of these. Love talking about this girl. Yes, Rebecca. Oh, love it. Don't define myself narrowly. Good. Find my personal power in any situation. Open my heart to any experience and embrace what I feel. Like 5 years ago, my word was open heart. And every year when I check in, Spirit says, your word is open heart. Your word is open heart. And so I just realized that the theme of my life, because I tend to get scared and I close my heart. I will give, but I close my heart so that I don't feel bad. And I am learning to allow myself to feel bad so that I feel good. That one will blow your mind too. Both and. Not the turtles. For me, it's how do I find my courage in all situations? So Flory, I would shift that. How questions tend to disempower us. What would I have to believe about myself to be courageous in all situations? So change it to a what question. What would I have to believe about myself to be courageous in all situations? There is no how-to to that one. Not the turtles. So I think there's a time and space. One of my favorite sayings is slow down to speed up. And so I think I'll get to this in a minute about the ideas. So let's put a pin in that for the turtles. Wow, this is a good one. Get comfortable being the talent. Yes, Nikki, get comfortable being the talent. And so here's what I see with a lot of my clients. They have a desire. Oh, they want to speak, teach, write, book, build a tribe and a following and coach and earn a living and whatever their gift is to serve. Varian calls it lifestyle entrepreneurship. Whatever version of it is, you have got to be the talent. I have a client. He is so funny. I love him. He's not here today. But he is so funny. He's like, this is what I want to do, but I want to be incognito. And I was like, well, that is your work right now because you cannot do it indivisible. You cannot do it invisible. So get comfortable being the talent. Slow down to speed up. And then here's what's interesting. When you get the idea, when you have that knowing, because when we slow down, we get the knowing. And that's when to pounce on the action, right? So this is what's so fun. Slow down to speed up. I'm having a new thought here, Valerie, a new one, a totally new thought. So when we slow down to speed up, in the past, I've thought about when I slow that down, speed up happens to me. Instead of, this is the new thought, this is my future self coming and saying, hello, this is what you think. When I slow down, I'm able to speed up. Not only does the world around me speed up, but I am able to move quickly. When I slow down, I speed things up. Ooh, mind blown. Okay. This is a random little, some of these are just like little nuggets that I wrote down. Support helps you carry out what you decide to do. And I love this because let's just go ahead and say this right now. I, Allison Crow, am looking for an implementer. I need a professional implementer as support. I have VA support, but what I need is, so for example, one of the things that I have is I have the recorded version of Share Your Heart, Share Your Work, or we'll re-record a version. And I need an implementer to carry out my vision for creating the online course and just getting all that done and set up. And let me know if I need to come in and be the talent, that's fine. But I need somebody to implement. I need somebody to implement my ideas so that I can keep creating ideas and love all my people. Those are my only two jobs, keep creating ideas and love all my people. So I am professionally, when I think about the support staff that I need, there's a lot of things I don't need, but what I want is somebody to implement more of my ideas. Because right now I'm only implementing a portion. I don't expect to implement all my ideas, but my future self has, I think Amy Porterfield calls it her integrator, right? And so having somebody to, when I have an idea and I have a knowing, somebody that can help take that fast. When I slow down and get that idea, somebody that can speed up the process. Oh, that's good stuff. Project manager. I personally want to call it my implementer. I hide mine from my internal email list. I'm scared to do that, Samantha. Peter Weller can do that. I know, Farah. Do you know Peter's in our group and he might be able to do that. He might be able to do that for me. Now, here's the thing. Peter works in a different system than I work in, though. Okay. I got some more. Y'all hanging in there with me? You seem to be. This is good stuff. Okay, I love this one. This was cool to see in the group. So at one point, Marianne went around and said, what thought did you have today that you didn't say? And it was interesting how so many people heard that in the room. And all she asked simply was there a thought that crossed your mind that you never voiced? It wasn't necessarily a thought that you kept hidden or a shameful thought or a critical thought. It was just, is there a thought that you didn't say? And, you know, reality is even though we're here and we're intense and we're listening, of course we have other thoughts. Of course, every once in a while, I woke up this morning and my ear was bleeding. Why was my ear bleeding? I have no idea, right? And it's like, so every once in a while, even on this live stream, I'm wondering if my ear is still bleeding. What that is for me and what I call it in my community of soulies is we call that be a noticer. And to me, one of the best skills that we can have is being, so right now we're a judger of ourselves, but we say hashtag be a noticer or I'm a noticer or noticer is notice notice your thinking. When you notice your thinking, you notice that it is not you, that it is just a thought, and you can choose to bring it down into your reality or not. So when I notice a thought that's not serving me, I don't have to believe it. When I notice an anxious thought, I can notice it and go, oh, my brain is running an anxious pattern, instead of believing I am anxious, because I don't have to be anxious while my brain is running. So be a noticer. I love this question. What if you didn't worry about how? What would you do, be, or have? If you didn't worry about how, I have a whole series of questions that I actually wrote down before I got off the plane at Varian's, and there's a version of this. If you didn't worry about how, what would you be, do, or have? I can't wait to hear the answers to this question. If you weren't stopped by the how or the judgment, what would you do, be, or have? Okay, here's where we get into move fast. Rebecca is a former client of mine, and now she's a client of Varian's. And Rebecca is so smart, and I love her logical, analytical brain. And so some of Varian's clients had some time and space to share the impact of working with Varian. And one of the things that Rebecca was talking about, so Rebecca's also studied neuroscience and neurosculpting, which is the changing of the brain to be differently. And so she said during this time working with Varian, she has observed her. Like, she's not only looking at her, but she is looking at her to see, not just to learn from her, but like to see what is the process? How does that work? And so one of the things that she said, this was so funny. She's like, I figured out Varian's formula. It is, I have an idea. Here's my idea. Thank you for your money. So it was so cute. She said, she was like amazed at how Varian can put up this retreat and it's sold out before next year. And so she's watching her because she's wanting to create something in her life. So she's going, well, how does my mentor do it? And instead of asking, I love this, Rebecca, instead of asking her mentor, how do you do it? She's looking at the meta. And this is something I'm doing all the time. I send my paid clients my mass marketing emails. And sometimes they're like, I'm already in your program. Like, I'll send them in a sales email and say, hey, it's time to join this program now. And they're like, I'm already in this. And I said, I know, I'm sending it to you so you can pay attention to how I do things. That's valuable. So I have an idea. Here's my idea. Thank you for your money. Now, I'm going to make one modification on that, because I think a lot of us with no audience say, I have an idea. Here's my idea. Thank you for your money. So what I also know about Varian is that Varian shows up consistently every single day, twice a day. She has morning thoughts and a nightly live video. Varian shows up 7 days a week in front of her audience, and her audience has grown and grown and grown. But for years, she has been showing up every single day. So when she says, here's what she does. She says, value, 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 value. I have an idea. Here's my idea and my offering. And then people hand her money. And what I see a lot of times is that we actually do have an idea and we have given nothing of value beforehand. So your job, especially if you are my client, those of you who are my clients, y'all can do whatever you want. But those of you who are my clients, you are paying me for you to be great. And so I'm expecting you to be great, which means show up today. Show up tomorrow, show up the next day. And then when you have an idea, offer the idea before it's even done. I wrote down, it's a luxury to get in fear. I love this. Varian said this a couple times, like, that's a fear. That's a luxury I don't have time for. And my brain was like, what do you mean? And then Varian said, if a luxury is something comfortable. A luxury is sitting in this office, in this house. A luxury is this gorgeous bookcase. A luxury is a double large cup of coffee. A luxury is my lashes. If a luxury is something that feels good, y'all realize how good your fears feel because they keep you safe. I can't afford that luxury. And she said, I can afford a lot of nice things. I can afford my new Louis Vuitton bag, but I cannot afford to stay in my fears. I cannot afford to stay in my fears, right? Oh, that was so good. So what luxury are you giving yourself that is making you bankrupt And I'm not talking about spending cash. I'm talking about mental and emotional luxury. So for me, one of the things that stalled me for a very long time, and it has taken me many years of having clinical depression and anxiety to understand how I create my depression and anxiety. So number one, it runs in my family. And that doesn't just mean biological. It might mean, and it probably does, that there are some, like we talked about, mouth breathing can tend, there's things that can tend to keep you depressed. But here's one of the reasons it runs in the family. Because I learned a lot of my way of being from my family. And my dad at one point, this is just example, and sorry, Dad, it's just true. And I know you don't do this anymore. But at one point, my dad would say, stop that crying bullshit. Because he didn't feel good feeling my crying. And so I learned to shove things down. The other thing is that I'll take responsibility for is that I was terrified of feeling negative, what I called negative feelings right now. There is no such thing as a negative feeling, but at the time I thought that was negative. It's not negative, it's human. And so I have learned, thank you, Chris Zeidel, and art, expressive arts, and myself, this whole coaching process, like I don't have to depress down difficult feelings. I get to learn how to feel difficult feelings. Learning how to feel difficult feelings has freed me from depression. After depression, so it was like then, so this is what was funny. Oh, I know how to feel, like I'm learning how to feel difficult feelings. Then I felt all the things and anxiety went off the charts. But anxiety is a step closer to healing than depression is. So if you are depressed, I am not a doctor, but may I recommend find somebody to work with that will help you actually feel your shadow feelings and see them as holy. Because when I can feel uncomfortable, when I can feel afraid and go forward anyways, when I can feel pain and grief, I am free. It's when I depress it down. So, oh, that's what's so fun. So in part of this going fast, I wish I'd written down who said it. I think it was Rebecca. Take action on ideas quickly. Don't let your ideas sit too long. If you have an action, like so many of us are afraid to change our minds or looking flaky, who cares? Put an idea out there. Let your ideas be in an experiment and take action quickly on them. And she asked this question, where does the idea get stuck? So I think this is a great question for all of you to ask. Where do your ideas get stuck? Notice it. Don't judge it. Just be a noticer, right? Be a noticer of where your ideas get stuck. And then the job is to time hop over them. And I love that little phrase, time hopping. And Rebecca actually explained something about the frontal cortex and the brain and all this scientific language that literally our vision is a half a second behind reality. What we're experiencing is a half a second behind, something like that. And so it's like when we have the idea and we take action immediately, we can jump over that moment in the time continuum. And I'm not talking woo-woo here, I'm talking reality. We can jump over that space where doubt and fear come in. Oh, yeah. Okay. I love this one. Rebecca called Varian a living work of art. And I think Varian said, yes, being a living work of art. Rebecca said this about Varian. Being a living work of art is your birthright. A living work of art is not something that is static. I don't know if Odie's still here, but I have this cute little cosmic cowgirl that she painted. This is a work of art, but it's no longer living. It's static. It's complete. And darlings, you are not complete on this earth until you pass through. Right. And so while this was being painted, it was a living work of art. And now it's physically complete. And each one of us, as we are live here on this planet, we are a living work of art. We are always in process. We are always in process. And the value is in the process. And that's what I loved about doing expressive. There's many ways to do this. You don't have to do it through art, although it's fabulous. But expressive arts isn't about the final piece. It's about it's about, this is what I love about professional artists. I see Odie. Yes, I like to see it there on yourself. So this is what's fun. Last night when I came in and was chilling down, I saw Odie every single day. Odie posts a new piece of art that she's either just created or creating. She's always creating. And Odie is a living piece of art that creates products that happen to also be, that's her version of art. I'm a living piece of art, whether I'm painting or not. My program is a living, breathing piece of art. I am a living, breathing piece of art, and I am never ready to be hung up on the shelf until God takes me home. Now, so don't be static now. Otherwise, you're just empty canvas sitting in the closet. Okay, we talked about time jumping. Oh, I love this one. Release attachment of time frame, not linear time. It's how quickly, Rebecca Hamilton, you're going to love this one too. It's how quickly you align, not how quickly you complete. So this is what's so fun. What I have been playing with, so for many years, I've had many coaches challenge me. I've done very well, you know, anywhere. My thermostat is around 170. It goes from 175 to 250 a year since 2007. And well, actually before 2007, even when I was a realtor, there was kind of a set point. Last year was different because I changed my business, but I'm already back up. So I have this set point, and I had a lot of coaches challenge me. You could do this. You could actually get a $100,000 client. And I would always resist that. My brain could not imagine it. And so my brain pushed it out. And one of the reasons is because in my history, remember, in my history, I had been so hell-bent on creating something in a certain amount of time. And when it didn't happen, I replanted seeds of doubt and shame and blame and guilt. And so what I love is this idea of release attachment to the time frame, not linear time. So I don't know which year I'll hit $1 million. And really even more important for me is the net a million. And here's what's funny. The only reason I want to do it is to prove to y'all I don't need $1 million, but I need to blow my own mind. I don't need to be $1 million coach, but being $1 million coach is the pathway that I'm choosing to blow my own mind and give permission to all my clients to blow their own minds. So it's how quickly you align with the vision. And what's amazing is when you align, it comes every single time. I always tell people, so one of the things that I was aligned with was finding my true love, was finding my partner in life, was finding my marriage. And I got married, I got left, I went through divorce. I went through my trashy single years that were a blast. And then Bill came into my life, and I didn't even realize it was him. But one of the things I knew from the time I was a very little girl in my brain, I saw my brain held the truth that I would be partnered romantically in a marriage with somebody who was my best friend, my lover, that we would laugh. And what's so funny is there are certain elements of my marriage that don't fit what I thought, but the energetics of the companionship, I have held that in my mind forever. And so here's what's fun. When I speak to myself as I am $1 million coach, it doesn't have to mean that I've already earned it. I know that it's coming. I know that I'm a living work of art, and I will keep pushing the paint around. And after I fulfill that, guess what? I'm only going to think of something new to keep blowing her brain. I wrote this, I'm $1 million coach. I'm going to net $1 million just to prove it to my brain. I am creating 333 members of my program at one time, and they stay. I live in my, so this is funny, y'all. I wanted to create 333 members. You know how many members I've created? Over 500. Many of them come and leave after a month because it's not for them. A lot of them come and they leave after 3 months. And part of this is because the brain at 3 months decides to check out when that's actually the time to stay in. And I haven't really been a pain in the ass about calling people on that. But I've actually already created $1 million. I've already created 333. It's fascinating. And then here's the other one I wrote. I live in my country house, a one story I love with Bill, dogs in a pool, and I love it. Right? Those are some of the things. Okay. Then here's the one, y'all. Those that came in, but this is actually where I wrote down what I said at the very beginning, the ones that were vulnerable. Not all Black women resent or hate or are angry with white women. That blew my mind. I mean, it's like I wanted to believe that, but I experienced that. And I wrote, not all Christians will reject me, leave connection with me, or try to convert me or judge me. And I was in a room with many, many, probably the majority of women in that room were devout, practicing leaders in their churches, Christians. And I did not feel, because I wasn't, that anybody withdrew connection from me, that anybody tried to convert me or judged me for anything other than I felt so loved. And it was just such a beautiful experience. And here's what it did. It made me realize how I projected onto a whole religious, you know, if you had the religious definition of Christian, I projected generally, because I've had a few people do that. That's not because they were Christians. That's because they were assholes. Some Christians are assholes. Some Christians aren't assholes. Some non-Christians are assholes. And some non-Christians are not assholes. So this is what's funny. The true thing is that the assholes reject you, leave connection with you, or try to convert you or judge you. So my job is to not be an asshole. My job is to not leave connection with people. My job is to not to try to convert people to what I believe. My job is to not judge me or try to convert me. And then what happens is we end up in a room with a bunch of people who just love and appreciate each other for the diversity. All right. Y'all, some of y'all sticking around, be a pain in the ass. It reminds us to stay. Yes. I need to have an email that goes out at 3 months. I know you're thinking about quitting. Of course you're thinking about quitting. Everybody thinks about quitting at 3 months. I've learned that if they stay 3 months, they stay the whole time. They're going on a year and a half. It's just a choice. Okay. Courage. Courage is a precursor to clarity. What courage will be required of me? And this one is simple for me. The only courage is to think beyond my current thinking. Think bigger than my current thinking. We hear that phrase, think big. Think outside of the box. That's another one. Like we hear those and we hear them so much. We hear them so much. We're now back in the box of those statements. Stepping into your power draws people in. Stepping into your power draws people in. And what I loved, we got these little boxes. I'll have mine up in here soon, but I got these little boxes full of love notes. And one of the things over and over that I received love from the women in the room in the notes was that your vulnerability is what drew me in. My vulnerability is my power. My humanness is my power. My perfection is not my power. My imperfection is my power. My imperfection, I'm willing to share it with the room. Okay. We started talking about sales. I started writing about my own, like some thoughts I'm having on my own. I recognized some of my process. Oh, I love this one. In our brains. So this was fun. Varian, and y'all will see Varian's live stream. So on Saturday night, we go until like 10:30, and then everybody's sitting around talking. And they were sitting around talking and someone said, Varian, have you done your live stream? And she's doing 365 lives in a row. And she was on day 119. And she said, no, I haven't. And she looked up at her phone and it was the next day. She missed her day. And what I love that Varian did is I think she said, oh, rats, or, you know, something like, oh, and then she immediately let it be neutral. It was neutral. She did not create a story that hurt her. She did not throw a fit. She did not freak out. She did not lament. She did not try to contrive to create a new story. She didn't make excuses. She just simply said, I forgot, I'm starting over, and kept it neutral. And as we pointed out, she goes, why would I create a story that hurts me? And so many of us are creating stories that cause us pain. So many of us are creating stories that cause us pain. Darling, I can't stop that story for you. If I tell you over and over and over again, you're never going to believe it. You have got to choose to create a story that doesn't hurt you. That's why I asked Flory earlier, what do you have to believe about yourself to have your power in any situation? What do you have to believe? A lot of times my clients ask me their opinion. This weekend, some clients asked some pretty deep talks, and all I could say was, what do you want? So the dumber I am as a coach, the more smart you get to be. I wrote down my courageous steps. Be brave, take courageous steps. It was made me think of my daughter and sent her a little Instagram live. For me, being brave is dropping old stories, open my heart again and again and again. And what's funny is I'm a noticer now. And so it's like a radar, one of those radar, what are those things called? Radar detectors that I used to have them in my car to detect when the cop was shooting radar at me. And they start, and they get faster the closer you are to the radar. And so I have my own radar lovingly turned on as a noticer when I'm living in an old story and when my heart starts to close. And I can recognize the sensations in my body when I start to constrict. And so one of my courageous steps, drop old stories, open my heart again and again, hire and allow support. Be willing to be uncomfortable in the hiring and allowing of support. What if I didn't judge myself for being new at hiring the level of support? So I've hired some contract support before, but the level of support that will require me to take care of 333 people as if there are 30 in the room is going to require a different level of support. I've already gotten really good. I love my coach and my VA have the same name. So I love my VA, John. He gets stuff done. That's it. It's amazing. It's a whole new experience for me. Then release self-judgment. So I that's the other thing as it comes up. Oh, what if I don't judge myself? Forgiveness. When we forgive ourselves, I have written down forgiveness, .. giving up hope of a better past. When we resent somebody, that's what I'm getting. It's like when we resent something or somebody or our own selves, we are projecting a better past. You can't change the past. So forgive and move on. Forgive and take action. I wrote down this equation. Brilliance plus humanity equals your wholeness. So many of us are willing to show our brilliance, but we don't want to show our humanity. And one of the reasons from very early on, I had a mentor one time, actually the moment I was on a panel of successful coaches in a room full of clients and prospective clients and leaders in my company. And somehow, I don't even remember what came up, but I acknowledged that I struggled with depression. And here I was, one of the most successful coaches in the nation, saying that I struggled with depression. And my contract employer's face fell out, was so clearly offended. And yet after that, I had a line of 100 people waiting to talk to me. All other powerful coaches saying, me too, me too, me too, me too. And when I saw her in the office the next week, she said, I would never have said that. And there was something that shifted in me, because until then, I'd always thought I had to look a certain way, be a certain way. And something in my heart just spilled that humanity out. And that humanity was more powerful than any skill I had in teaching people how to sell fucking real estate. And so brilliance plus humanity equals wholeness. You cannot just share your brilliance without humanity. I have seen too much brilliance, and then behind the scenes, I've seen the humanity, and it was so incongruent, it lost all validity. So if you want to be the validity that you are, if you want to be the validity that you are, you must give your brilliance and your humanity. You must work on and love on your brilliance and your humanity, both of them. That was a big message for a lot of women in the room, too. Freedom is a willingness to embrace humanity. I wrote down permission to be cute. These women are so cute. Permission to be cute. I think I'd given myself permission to be comfortable or fancy, and I didn't give myself permission to be comfortable and cute. One of my new energetic things that I'm stepping into is casual luxury. Casual luxury. Y'all, get ready to write this one down. This one's going to blow your mind. This one's going to blow your mind. How many of us, like, we're thinking, oh, permission to make money, permission to make money, permission to make money. And I remember in 2013, like, and I have it on here, dare to be rich, permission to make money, the courage to keep money. And I'm not going to call the person out, but the person that said that is in this room right now. Courage to keep money. And so I am shifting from the courage to make money, permission to make money, to the permission to create wealth. The permission to create wealth. And the more wealth I have, the more I can give, the more I can keep and give. So it's not, my husband always says, And he'd say, Allison, I'll tell you that for years. It's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. Permission to keep wealth. Break the subconscious. I wrote down this for me. Break the subconscious vibration of debt. And so it's fascinating that my debt is always around the same number, and I get it paid off, and then I get right back in. And I made a decision by myself in that little corner sofa. Said I am raising the vibration of the debt. And actually, I decided to create an offering that eliminates my debt in one day. I can totally eliminate my debt in one day. Why am I thinking this has to be forever? I can eliminate my debt in one day. I will be making an offering, and you will say yes, and you will help me be debt-free in one day. I know there's a lot, and some of you have not lasted, but some of you are still here. I have just a few more pages. This is a valuable way to spend your time today, I promise. So one of the other things my buddy coach Kay helped me with, we already decided the first week of the year, is that this is the year I'm going to lead with revenue. I'm not going to lead with debt. Who I have been is somebody who has taken risk and used debt to help me create what I have. And that has worked for me until now. I have no shame in it, but it's worked for me for now. And as of January 1st, I decide to lead with revenue. So unless I have the cash, that's what's so fun. Part of the Louis Vuitton story is that I had actually created the fund for me, cash funds, while also creating tax, paying for my business, paying down my debt. Y'all realize I'm living on 10 to 15% of my income. But I had slowly, over time, a little bit at a time, created enough to buy myself that fund for me luxury purse. So I am profit first. I lead with revenue. I wrote down being casual, wise, luxury. So that's the other thing I'm bringing into my money vibration is not just money, but I want it to be wise. Wise luxury. My standing in my net a million desire has already given permission to another powerful woman. Somebody in that room said, because you said that, you have given me permission to desire the same thing. So I don't even have to create it. Just my desire and outing my desire instead of being ashamed of my desire to create a net $1 million as a life coach, 10 hours a week, by the way, has given permission to another woman. Being first class creates the ability to pay first class. So what's fun is we talked about first class, and Varian always flies first class. And I kind of laughed because I was like, I fly Southwest. They don't have first class. And so, but I wrote down, if I want to pay for first class leading with revenue, I must be first class. And so here's my experience in the airport. This was so weird. The airport was really busy, long lines. And as I was there, I was wearing my white Expand shirt, wearing my tennis shoes, wearing my jeans. And I looked around and I noticed that I was the tallest person, except for one man, in the room. In all these lines, really long lines. And I was like, I felt taller than normal. And there was something, I was standing, and my shirt saying expand in all things. And I literally felt taller. And as I scanned the room, somehow the universe provided a room of 200 short people. That's not normal. I was the tallest person in the room. And every TSA person I went to, Kara had kissed me on the cheek and her lips were on my cheek and I'd forgotten about it. And so every TSA person I saw just giggled at me and smiled and was friendly and nice. And then I had a B boarding pass. I didn't have an A boarding pass. I hadn't paid for A boarding. And usually I have a B boarding pass, and usually I'm in the back half of the plane, and I usually get the seat, A seat that I want. And I get onto the plane, and there is a seat in the second row on the aisle. The man, I don't normally find this experience. I don't mean to down men, but instead of sitting on the row, he sat in the middle, and he said, I didn't want to be an asshole, so he took the middle seat. I said, is this open? He said, yes. And sure enough, normally by this time, there's no place for my baggage, and I'd have to put my baggage. So I put my baggage up there, and I'm sitting, and I'm like, oh, I'm having a first class experience on an airline that doesn't even have first class. And then some lady in front of us on the front row was bummed that she couldn't keep her backpack in her lap. So she wanted to go sit in the back. So the guy next to me went, I'm sitting and I'm like, oh, this is like first class without the space. So the girl leaves and goes to the back. And the guy next to me says, I'll sit up there. And the we're on the ends. I'm on the aisle and this other guy on the window. We just look at each other and we like high five. That plane was full except for one. There was one seat left on that plane. And guess who had the space next to him? So I sat in first class. I had drink tickets. I used two of them and I gave the rest. I had a thing full of drink tickets and I was like, oh, these expire next week. I've had them for years. Those things are usually a year and a half long. And I was like, I'm never going to be able to use all these. So not only did I had free drinks, I had space. And I was thinking of our first class conversation. The ladies in the room know. So this is what was so fun is in my being, I was in first class and it commanded an experience on a airline that doesn't have first class that was as close to first class as you can get. And the doors opened up. Is it reasonable to be afraid? Separate real fears from psychological ones. That's a good one. Is this a fear I should take action on? Fear has a component, a chemical reaction. Fear is a natural habit. This is good. Y'all listen to this one. Fear is a natural habit when you don't practice getting out of your comfort zone. If you don't practice getting out of your comfort zone, trust me, you rot. You rot from the inside out because that chemical process needs to be bursted open. Break free from the familiar. Name your fears. Embrace the fear, then let it go. They're their fear. I see you. I won't leave you. Unresolved pain shows up in your personality. Depressed pain shows up in your personality. Don't let your courage muscles atrophy. I wrote, fling yourself. I'm a flinger. I fling myself into the situation. And one of the live streams I'm going to do later this week is, and maybe even tonight, is 10 things I learned from starting a membership program before I was ready. And trust me, I started in August of 2017, and it is now January 2019. And I feel like it is finally ready to be started. That's why the price is going up. Power the people you love with love. Turn up the flame. Oh, this was so good. Okay, this is another one. So we were talking about some pretty deep stuff, and there was one beautiful woman in the room. She said, I don't really get it, but you know what? I'm going to hold on till I do. And so this is what's so fun. Instead of being in the room and in the conversation, and she said, it feels a little bit over my head. I don't really get it right now. Hi, Diane. Instead of leaving the conversation, she says, I'm going to hold on for dear life until I do. And so many of us, when we don't get the conversation, we poo-poo it. We dismiss it. And so I wrote down, even if you don't get it, get scrappy for the growth. Get scrappy. Go back in. Just because you don't get it doesn't mean that you won't get it soon. Let's see if there's anything else. Oh, this is good for the people that just showed up. Thank you. Brilliant people tend to handle their own life. Handle their own life. Brilliant people tend to handle their own life. Brilliant women tend to handle your own life. Ask for what you need. Let your friends know that you're lonely and you would like it if you reached out to me. I'm not too busy for you. Brilliant people handle their own life. Get help. That one hit me. It was like, oh, I can do everything. I can handle it. Brilliant people have got to learn how to receive help, how to receive friendship, how to receive sisterhood. This is when I started doing the math. This is when I started doing the math. I was like, oh, I can cure this problem in one day. I love this. Let's go get something. So this was a huge distinction for me, big enough for me to create a whole page. I have spent the last few years. So the first part of my life was very much in the masculine driven linear. My last 4 or 5 years have been dipping really into the feminine. And that was very important for me. Getting some of that softness, getting rid of the shame, blame, and guilt. And now what I love is those two are coming back together for the perfect synergy of feminine and masculine. And I am starting to be more driven by goals. It doesn't mean I've lost my softness or my ability to create from divine feminine. It is now that the divine feminine and the divine masculine, oh, I'm getting chills. This is what will help me as I be perfectly balanced in the feminine and the masculine. Anything I want to create is mine. And I teach my clients. And so I wrote, let's go get something. And Varian was like, yeah, I'm a life coach, but it's so much more fun to life coach somebody when you have a goal, when we're going after something. And so what I love, I am a life coach. And one of the reasons we do business coaching is because business brings up your life shit. Jane says, dear Allison, thank you. I was sick to my stomach with worry about my financial circumstances and not having found the way in these years to create a life beyond surviving. I was cooking and heard your live notification and saw my mind to listen while I cook. These are gems for me here. Yes. And those of you who just came, I promise this has been a pretty long live stream. I'm sharing the wisdom learned from this event. I promise you, you're going to want to hear it again. And actually, I'll probably turn it into a podcast. Oh shit, need to learn to receive friendship. Big wow. Yes. And I love that. Tracy Lee and Malia and Tiffany here in Austin have done that for me. It's so nice. Yeah, so let's go get something. So, for a while, I was repellent to an end goal. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like when my coach would say, oh, go get a $100,000 client. I was like, yeah, I don't want to, because I wasn't ready. I needed to get my creative feminine juices. And then yesterday, this was such a confirmation. Yesterday, somebody was, you know, there was that Facebook thing 10 years ago and now, and she talked about the different seasons. She talked about being in a fire season. She talked about being in a water season, and water is feminine. And I could so clearly see the years that I was in my feminine. And then she talked about being in a wood season. And wood is where the plants are grown. And that's where I was in the last year and a half. The last 18 months, I went from, this is so freaky. So I went from all that painting I did, y'all, and all that, just that wild hippie woman was embracing all of her feminine. The rainbow woman was embracing all of her feminine. She had to repel from the fire of the masculine. And I went through all that feminine. I love Diane Black that you're here, because I have your book, Awakening Shakti. I had to awaken my Shakti. And then the last year, I spent the last 18 months chopping wood and carrying water. I sold my house. I rebuilt my entire business. And my mantra was chop wood, carry water. I can do without to create something for the future. Chop wood, carry. And I was building seeds, gardening. And then the energy from December 26th on has been earth energy. And earth energy is the balance of the masculine and feminine. And it clicked for me. So this woman did this post and she was, you know, she asked, what are you in? And I didn't explain the whole story, but I was like, I'm in earth, baby. I am in the balance of the masculine and feminine. So yes, let's do this life coaching thing, but let's have something that we're going after. Let's go get something. I want to hear right in the comments right now. What are you going to go get? I'm going to create 333 members in my life coaching and business coaching community. And I'm going to create $1 million. And then I'm going to create a net $1 million just to prove to my brain. And I'm going to give permission to every other girl next door who for some reason made up that wasn't for them. I'm going to give them permission to do it too. And yes, I tend to work with the girl next door. And y'all. Oh, the other thing we talked about. So this is the final thing I'll say. We had a whole conversation around sales, and I love sales. So when I was in my feminine, I didn't even want to call it that. I called it an invitation, but now I am back to earth energy and balance. I love sales. Everything, and it was so cute because the woman Varian was talking with, I was thinking the same thing. And I was like, y'all, somebody sold us this computer. Somebody sold me this necklace. Somebody sold me these earrings. Somebody sold me these glasses. We are involved in sales all the time. And she said, most human beings are comfortable being the consumer. We are comfortable being the consumer, but those that are comfortable creating value and selling it, being in the sales position, the world is theirs. I love sales. I see my clients, y'all are so good at what you do, and you are lousy at sales. And I want to teach you to be really good at sales. That's why I send you my emails about getting in the program. I already talked about this once, but people are like, why are you sending me this email? I'm already in your program. I'm sending you so you can watch and study sales. How many of you watch and study what you want to learn? Do you know, even before this live stream, I'm watching and studying sales. I sign up for webinars that I have nothing to do with just because I want to watch their sales process. Sales is how I get good at serving the people that want what I have. I don't need to convince anybody that doesn't want what I have to buy it. That's not what this is about. But if I don't let the world know, Severian said, open the door, have the offering people give you money. We don't know this process. I love this process. I love this process. I love sales. One of the reasons, one of the books that I will write within the next, maybe even this year, I could probably write it in a weekend, is everything that has made me good in coaching I learned in real estate. When someone says, I want to be a brand new coach, I'm like, great, go sell real estate for 3 years. Because everything I learned in selling real estate has made me successful as a coach. You have your skill and your sales, and you must learn both of them. And so many people want to learn their skill, but they do not embrace with the same excitement, the excitement to share about their offerings. I love talking about sales. Love it, love it, love it. And that is the end. An hour and 13 minutes. Yes, Diane Bleck, I'm with you. I'm creating something too. I'm creating a mastermind, a different kind of mastermind. I'm actually going to be launching this probably at Camp Starheart. So Diane's actually been in one of the feminine women circles, but I don't have a name for it, but it's going to be about let's go get something. Hey, Keisha, I'm creating, so I haven't had the energy to do a women's circle, and I'm going to create something. I don't have the name for it. It hasn't dropped in, but I'm very clear that it's about the balanced feminine and the balanced masculine. And for a year, we actually have a goal. We have a one thing, and we're going to go out and create something. And the context, so in the past, right, the context has been about inner. Hi, Julie. Good to see you. Hi, Monica. The context in the past has been about the energy of what you want to feel and calling in turtle energy and sister energy and wolf energy and condor energy. And this circle is going to be about using those energies to create the materialization of your goal. Right. So for me, the next goal is to be a $1 million coach, 10 hours a week, fully supported. And my clients are happier and loved on more than ever. And so the whole context of the mastermind will be to actually create something linear with those powers. Ooh, I'm excited about it. I want in that group for sure. Girl, get your booty to Camp Starheart for becoming. Get your booty. I can't even remember what the last day. I'm selling it, but I think February the price goes up. For right now, the early bird price is there. Come to Camp Starheart. You're gonna want to be it's not rainbow this year. It's metallic. So if you come to Camp Starheart, Diane Bleck, I need you to bring all your metallic colors, bring all your reflections, bring all, because we are talking about becoming, and we're talking about using who we be to influence what we do so that we can have everything we are destined to have. So with that final, I know some of you just showed up. I'm telling you right now, you're coming in at the end. If you're coming in at the end, I really want to encourage you, of all the lives I've done in a long time, this is one of the most valuable. This is one of the most valuable. So whether you watch the replay, you're going to want to have notes. Some people were watching it while they were cooking. I think that's fantastic. And there is so much goodness that I got from this weekend. There's a comment. You're getting not just my wisdom, but you're getting wisdom from Varian. You're getting wisdom from the reflection that I am bringing home from my beautiful 30 sisters in the room. And there is so much in this one live stream. You're going to want to get out your own journal. You're going to want to go through it. And you might even want to go through it a couple of times. And if it resonates with you, I'd love for you to come be in my Soli group before the price goes up. So my group is Soulful Success for Life and Business, www.coachwithallison.com. Today is the last day that the membership price is $188 a month. Tomorrow it goes up to $288 a month. There is no long-term contracts. If it's not for you and you stay in for the first month and don't like it, I'll refund your money. But get in now and save yourself over $1,000. So this is the same $30,000, actually even better, $30,000 coaching that I used to give my private clients and my circles for less than $3,000 a year. And if you want to come to Camp Starheart, that's www.campstarheart. And so this is the other thing. I love sales. So yes, I'm going to give y'all value, but I have no shame about inviting you into the work that I'm doing and creating, because you're going to want to hang around with me this year. You're going to want to be in my energy. You're going to want to reflect off my energy. My energy is going to help you create what you want to do for yourself. It is going to blow your mind. So get in on this. Love you guys. You're in at the 188, baby. Those who are in at the 188 are grandmothered in. They stay in. Oh, Shannon, my girl, wing woman. Super solo year-long member. Monica, you're getting close to being a year-long member too. This is fun. Year-long members get to breathe y'all t-shirts. Year-long members get the people like, can I have a t-shirt? You got to be a member for a year. So I love you guys. If you have any questions, yes, Odie. Oh, I would love you to be in the program, Odie. Let me hit that for you right now. My program is www.soulful.info. Y'all get on in it. If you are in it for a month and you show up and participate, you don't show up to everything, but if you show up at least once a week, and if you are in it and you decide it doesn't resonate with you and want out, I'll refund your first month. No risk. No risk. No risk. Love you guys. And women and men are welcome in there too. There's women and men. Let me scroll back down. I went over there to answer that. You're registering now. I'm so glad, Diane. I'm so glad. I will love having you back at Camp Starheart. You are going to love the energy. Diane, I actually was sitting next to a girl named Shannon this week, and she was looking at my doodles. And I said, oh, my former client, Diane Bleck, teaches everyday people how to doodle at the Doodle Institute. And I wrote down specifically your stuff. I'm so excited to be connected with you. I mean, we're always connected, but be connected even closer. I love you guys. An hour and 20. I haven't gone that long in forever, but I know I'm going to re-listen to this. I'm actually going to turn this into a podcast because it was so good. I love you guys, and stick around within the next day or two, probably tonight, just because let's think about sales, because I want people to save money instead of spend more money. I probably will do the 10 things I learned about starting a membership site tonight. All right. Love you guys. Mwah. If you have any questions, message me.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.